Now, will you notice? He says, if indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. And what he's saying to them is this, God has done this, and he hasn't given an explanation. And couldn't it be for some reason that he hasn't explained? But they're determined that their explanation, of course, is the right one. And he almost pleads with his friends here. He says, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. He says, oh, God is mistreating me. It's true. And there must be an explanation for it. And it must be an explanation different from yours, because I know that God is letting this happen to me for a purpose, but I don't know what the purpose is. And he goes on talking in that vein, and finally comes up in verse 23. He says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. And this man says here, I wish my life was written out and put in a book, and I'd be willing for my worst enemy to write it, and I'd go around with it around my neck like a necktie, and I'd just show it to everybody and say, look, this is what my worst enemy says about me, and he has to praise me. Now, would you want your worst enemy to be the one to write your biography? I'm not sure I want my best friend to. I have a couple of friends who want to write my biography, and I've discouraged them. Very frankly, I want to stand on God's books. I think it'll be more accurate, and I think it'll be lots worse there, too, but it'll be accurate, and that's the important thing. And now listen to him. Now Job expresses his great faith. These men attempt to break him down. And this is actually the devil's subtle attempt. When he brings a man to a place where he is not humble before God, but he vindicates himself. But at the same time, the devil wanted to break him down to where he would defend himself, though he's hit rock bottom. But Job hasn't hit rock bottom, by the way. And these friends have not broken him down. He has a living, real faith in God. Here is one of the great statements of the Bible. And it's not just the statement that's great. It's great because the man who gave it is a sick man. And this man is ready to expire. He's lost everything. He's under the discipline of Almighty God. And he feels the lash upon his back. And yet he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Don't tell me that you're going to go back now and pick up the words of Job at first when he was in the shock of all this trouble and he wanted to die and he spoke of death at least would get him away from his troubles. He's not talking about soul sleep. I think that's obvious. He says, I know that within my flesh I'm going to see God. He's not going to be asleep, by the way. That worms may destroy his body, but he's going to see God. This body of ours, friends, it's not going to go to sleep. It's going to be put right back in the earth. And the dead in Christ are put to sleep. The body is, but they go in their spirit to be with Christ immediately. And how wonderful that is. Now he cries out to them, having made this great statement, but ye would say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. He's saying to these men, don't you know that God will punish you for saying what you've said to me.